Welcome back. Another episode of Total Disruption. I am Dr. Jake Clendenning, and on behalf of my partner, Michael Labersi, we're excited to have a friend of the show with us this morning. Catalina, so great to see you this morning.
Happy to be here. Fine.
Excellent. All right. So I'm gonna read the standard bio for the audience so that they know who Catalina is. So Catalina is a graduate in law and psychology with 23 years of experience supporting people on their journeys. She dreams of a world where women truly live, not just survive, and never feel alone. She's a psychotherapist, speaker, and the founder of Alive in Her Global Movement, a movement for empowering women. And then we'll post it up there where you can connect with her. So good morning, Catalina.
Hello.
It's wonderful to see you. It is, where are you coming from in the world today?
Well, I'm from Romania.
Romania, very cool. It is, it's going to be in Celsius. So what's the weather currently in Romania?
Well, not quite winter. We don't even know what season it is.
Yeah, it's I have a feeling this morning Wyoming and Romania are probably very similar weather patterns. We are very frigid, all white everywhere, very frosty and cold. Not my favorite.
No.
So I'm a sun seeker for the most part. So
summer.
I'm a fan. Spring, summer, fall, big fan. Winter, I used to be. You know, we used to do all the winter activities, that kind of thing, but not as excited about it anymore. It's not my favorite thing, and that's all right. So, so let's get into this. Let's make this easy this morning. Like, what is your cause? What is the thing that you're the most passionate about that you want to make sure the audience knows?
What, the global movement?
Well, sure, but tell us a little bit more about that. Yeah, that's a little that there. You're leaving us wanting a lot here. What's it about?
Well, Alive in Her Global Movement is a movement for empowering women, and I've just launched it 2 months ago.
Okay, what got you started in it?
Well, actually, it's called Alive in Her because I had a lot of clients who just survive, not live. And that is why I want to show them that it's possible to, you know, to feel alive, to truly live, mm-hmm. and not to be alone and to live and to be happy and to enjoy and to be in here and now and so on. So it's about supporting each other. I created a Facebook group where we can support each other and so on. And from that, of course, it will grow.
And like you said, you want this to be, the intention is a global movement.
Yeah.
Which, you know, once upon a time, and I would say it's pre-COVID, honestly, it was global movements didn't happen unless you were famous.
Yes.
Right. You had to have a reach and a certain perspective. Now we've got the capability and the capacity to be able to touch people worldwide very, very easily. I think that it used to be seven degrees of separation. That we knew everybody on the planet, but now it's like one.
Yes.
We know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. I mean, it is an incredible connection that we have the ability to do virtually. And that's a troublemaker too, right?
Yes.
Also, you know, from that. So what's your goal with the global movement? Like that's a bad way to state that, because we just talked about that. With creating the global movement.
Yes.
Like, we know that you want to have women have the opportunity to feel and show up and live a certain way. How big, like in 2026, how many members of even the Facebook group, how many people do you want to have be able to connect?
Well, I'm sure the group will gather exactly the people that need to be there. And, you know, after COVID, as you said, there is a lot of need for people to be connected, you know, human interaction and so on. And that is why the need is bigger now. And that is why a global movement is even more necessary. So I want to be a lot of women, and I want them to support each other, to help each other, and to be able to grow. Maybe they have new businesses, maybe they divorce and so on.
Yeah, and I've definitely seen a lot of it. In different capacities, different, I wouldn't say, you know, some people call them movements, some don't, that the women overall are really trying to connect with each other.
Yes.
And for me, I'm a guy. Let's be really clear on that. Like there's clearly some things I'm not seeing. I'm not understanding within the female community.
Yes.
You know, there's still a not feeling connected to each other, to, you know, women to women.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I'm seeing a huge push for that. What, you know, in your, from a professional spark,
yeah,
space, right? From the psychotherapy standpoint, what's missing? Like, what's the common denominator that women are saying, I don't have this? Is there something like that?
Well, for example, in Alive in Her Global Movement, men are welcome too. So it's not about that, you know, women
well,
have something.
You.
You know, not to be, yeah, you are welcome too. Yeah, so it's that need of understanding each other, of communicating better. As you said, you know, it seems that sometimes men and women are from a different world and the message don't get to, from one to another. And yeah, it will be ideally to understand and to listen better, to talk better and so on. Because yeah. Sometimes the message doesn't get to the other.
That's absolutely true. And we, in my work, I see it from, and I guess this, because I could call it a limiting view, a limiting perspective, because
yes.
I look at the communication model largely in modalities,
yes.
in different things, right? I look at the visual, the auditory, the kinesthetic communication model. I also look at the DISC model, and I look at the, wow, I just totally lost it. It's a great book. Love Language. Wow, can't believe it. I lost that one this morning. Of the love languages and the combinations thereof, because as I look at those three different communication models, there's an infinite amount of possibilities in there of
yes.
how they best like to communicate. And finding that one other person that fully gets you through all three of those models, man, that's a tall order. That's
yeah.
a really tall order. So
yeah,
I,
but
you know,
you are yeah. right, but even though you don't find that person, you may, you know, start talking to that person and somehow get to, you know, to the same level, let's say, or speak the same language.
Mm-hmm. And there's components, right? And that's where
yes.
I primarily function in the modality standard, because I think that versus going to the personality communication models, I find those more challenging versus it's easier for me, and I'm being very selfish in this conversation, it's easier for me to change my language just in the way that I speak if I'm speaking to somebody that's a, you know, has a auditory
yes.
modality. I'm going to use speak, hear, sound like. If it's a visual modality, I'm going to say things like show me, it looks like, paint me a picture. And in the feelings, it's very simple. How do you feel?
Well, yeah, for example, for me, you said how it works for you. So I would say for me, it works for the other person to tell me exactly what he needs.
Yeah,
not to let me guess or anything like that, or to believe that I will understand, or no, tell me exactly what you need.
And it's always been interesting. I mean, I guess that's why
yeah.
I have my PhD in that, is because John Maxwell, if you guys are a fan of that,
yeah.
John Maxwell wrote a book years ago, Everybody Communicates, Few Connect.
Yeah.
Great book. Didn't understand what that meant at all the first time that when he wrote that book. Didn't get it at all. And yet, as you march down that road, it's absolutely true. And we see this in, you know, couples therapy. Matt Townsend wrote a great book that, you know, and you may have read that one being in the field that you're in, that Starved Stuff. And it is largely the communication disconnect in couples
yeah.
that they're seeing there, that they're saying the same thing, but they're one's not hearing it, one's not seeing it, one's not feeling it, because they're not talking the same language. Is that still, I would say, yes, it's a component, but how are you seeing that with the need for this movement, this need to connect through your movement? How are you seeing that model?
Well, I see it in couples, as you said. For example, you know, one says, please go to the market and buy some fruits. And of course, he doesn't say what fruit. And after that, when he comes back from the market, she's unhappy. because she didn't tell him exactly what she needed. And regarding the movement, well, the communication can be better inside the movement because everybody went through something. And so, you know, in that community, women had that feeling, and it's a reality, that the other women understand her better. So it's easily for her to communicate, and I noticed that. I mean, she doesn't think, oh, but maybe the others won't understand me, because she knows that the others won't judge her or anything like that. So it's easily for her, you know, to be herself and to share her story.
Yeah, in a room of peers that she feels other people are going through something similar.
Yes.
Have, you know, they feel what they feel. See what they see, hear what
and,
they hear.
Yeah, yes. And knowing that it's a safe space and, you know, she won't be punished, let's say, or the words won't be used against her.
Mm-hmm. I get that. So in your couple decades of work in this space, like when this has probably been a thought for a long time.
Yes.
But when did you say, okay, it's time. It's time to create this movement. It's time to create this group.
Well, because I've seen the need of it. I've seen it in myself because many years ago, I needed such a healthy family, healthy village, you know, and I've seen it in my clients. So because I've seen it in so many people, I realize now is the time. So I built it. And, you know, when you don't have a healthy family, you build it, you created it.
Fair point. So, all right. So we could say all women, that would be pretty easy. And there's also the term in general business that I can't stand right now, which is, you know, who's your perfect client? Cause I think that's too extreme.
No.
Niching down to that space, but like, who are the people? Cause you said men are welcome.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. Yeah.
Who are the people? Like if you were going to draft that avatar right now, of who that person is that's listening to this, that should reach out and just be part of this group. Who are they?
Well, especially because the holidays are coming. Of course, people who need a community, people who need a shoulder to cry on, people who need a virtual hug, who need somebody to talk to, and who don't want to be alone for Christmas, New Year's, and so on. And not only for the holidays, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But usually around the holidays is tougher. That is why I said about the holidays.
Well, and that's fair. I mean, if we're, and like I said, when we went, I was talking about this earlier, of it's easy to reach everybody now. And yet the trauma, and I use that word on purpose, of this virtual space is we're all in silos. You know, I had a conversation last week about the benefit of brick and mortar business, still being able to go and, you know, be around the physical energy of people, getting around them. So if you're in a silo in this virtual space right now and need that connection, I mean, it's absolutely true. And we're seeing that become a bigger barrier, particularly in business, but you're looking at this from a psychotherapy standpoint. And the holidays are stressful. Like they're supposed to be awesome and joy filled and loving and all the things. And so many of us are so stressed out about, I got to make the meals, I got to clean the house, I got to buy the things, I got to deal with things. But there's another level of stress on this.
Yeah. And after that, so lonely.
That aren't being invited to the Christmas parties.
Yes.
Like that's a stressor, man. That is not a good point. And here's the scary part for them. They also, the barrier to get over for them, in my opinion on this one, is saying, I do need that. I'm okay with reaching out. I'm good with, I'm going to join that group, because there's this self-imposed limiting belief they're an introvert.
Yes.
Like, I honestly think that's a label myself. The word introvert.
Yeah, I believe that too.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you need connection. We're a herd animal. Human beings are a herd animal. If you go back to a very core, you know, animalistic standpoint, we need each other.
Yeah.
There and that are is not, why... and you look at, yeah, you look at the, look at history, look at the people that are in a silo that are doing things by themselves all alone, Most of them are not quite right. They're a little left to center. They're off. They're not okay in
Yes.
some capacity. And that's because they don't have the human connection.
Yeah.
And that is so, so very critical. So how do we give, you know, it's easy for us to just say, join the group. Like that's easy for us to say in from a give permission standpoint. Give me the psychotherapy standpoint. What's something these people have got to do to be able to say yes to join something like this?
To know that they deserve the help they may receive. Because sometimes
they deserve
we,
the help.
Yeah, to deserve the help. Sometimes we are so sure that we are alone in the globe and nobody is there for us and nobody can help us and so on, that we don't give ourselves permission to ask for help or to believe that somebody would be interested in our story or in our person. So just to give themselves permission to believe they are worthy of being helped.
Yeah, so it's easy for us to say it, right?
Yes.
Is there a technique? Is there a tactic? Is there something they can do to build up to giving themselves permission? Because it is simple. I talk about this all the time. Is what you need to do is simple. It's
yes.
not easy.
No, it's not so. Easy. Yes, because most of them believe that people are dangerous. So they don't want to join a group where there can be a lot of dangerous people. So, yeah, but they may give themselves permission to try. At least to try. Let's say to stay for one day in the group, and if they don't like it, they're free to leave.
Permission to try, okay?
Yeah,
so
permission
I will
to
roll
try.
With that. It's an anti-Yoda statement, but we'll take it for this one. I think it's absolutely true. You know, if you guys caught the Star Wars reference, there is no try,
yeah.
do or don't. And yes, I butchered the quote from Yoda. I'm sure I will get that. However, that's the reality. Give yourself permission to try.
Yeah, or
I
if you have
actually
friends.
I think that's beautiful in this statement.
Yeah, or if you need, or if you have friends that need support, you may, told them about the group.
Yeah. So tell us the name of the group again. We're about a little more than halfway through. I don't want to lose that.
Alive in Her.
Okay. Alive in Her. Hashtag Alive in Her.
Yeah. Because maybe
AliveInHer.
Yes. Because sometimes maybe it's easier for us to tell people about the group than for them to reach for help, you know, because as you said, it's not easy to reach for help. So maybe sometimes we can go to our friends and say, hey, I've heard about this group. Would you like to join? So I believe it would be easier this way.
Yeah, that's having a friend, right? Having somebody that does it, having a person.
Who thinks about you and cares about you and asks you, hey, are you okay? How are you doing during, these holidays?
Yeah. See, and I wrote about this in my first book, and this actually ended up being the topic of my dissertation, was, and it's all based on a Jim Rohn quote. Everybody's heard it. They've heard me say it a million times. Five people just tuned out because they know I'm going to say it. You are a product of the five people you spend the most time around.
Yes.
And you've got to grade them, like scale of 1 to 10. Is this person bringing me up? Is this person bringing me down? If they're not a 6 or a 7 or an 8+ in this thing, spend less time with them. So what Catalina's talking about here is that person that's going to invite you to this group is likely a 6 or 7 or an 8. You are probably operating at a 3 or a 4. That's the truth of it.
Yes.
And this is why you need to reach out in that. And I'm not, everybody needs to notice I'm not saying her, she, whatever that is. And I say that because and I've heard this, and this, for me, this one's challenging because I don't believe it's true, right? For me.
Yeah.
I don't, and obviously I'm not speaking about everybody. I'm saying this is not necessarily true for me. Men find it just as challenging. I'm going to put the statement
yes,
out.
Yes, yes, yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
Men find it just as challenging to ask for help as women do. Just as challenging. The word no is the biggest punch in the guts everybody gets. Plain and simple. You don't ask because you're afraid of being told no.
Yes.
Plain and simple. That's men, that's women. Does not matter. Like,
yes.
So when I hear I'm going to say it. And when I hear the excuse coming from one side of the aisle or the other of, well, it's just easier for them, or it's just easier for them.
No, it's not easy for anybody.
It's just as challenging. If you're rowing your boat all by yourself right now, it's okay to try.
Yeah. For men, it's even challenging because, you know, men are told, oh, you are too sensible if you cry. Oh, but you are a man, toughen up. It's not permitted to cry and so on. So actually, it's even tougher for men.
And that's an old label to put on guys. I mean, I couldn't even probably put a basis on it of that masculinity space of where that came from. It's not a two generation thing. It's not like, you know, grandfathers from the 50s, that's where it came from. No, this has been handed down for literally probably millennia.
Yeah.
As you look at this, I mean, from biblical times that has been, this is.
Yeah, but we can change it now.
Yeah. This is how you got to show up as a guy. This is how you have to show up as a woman. That's not true.
No,
like it's totally not true. It's your option. It's your choice. And it's absolutely up to you. There's quite a bit of biblical things that we can talk about this, you know, from that direction, and appropriate or not, it doesn't matter. But that's the truth, is you have a divine design that your job, again, my opinion, welcome to it. I'll allow it. Send me the opinion. Your job is to find out what your divine purpose is for being here and execute on it brilliantly. That's your job. That's your whole purpose of what you're doing. If you're feeling crappy about what's going on, it's because you're not in the space. You haven't found it. You're not looking for it. The global movement could be where you find it.
Yes, exactly. Or if you don't find it there, then look for another group you feel okay.
Right. But you might meet, if there's 1,000 people in a group and you meet one person that moves you forward, it was worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
It was worth it. That's back to a Thomas Edison thing, a little bit of, you know, it took him 10,000 failures to create one success.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. You might have to meet 1,000 people in order to meet that one person that moves you forward.
Yeah.
And then you need to go meet another 1,000 people to get another person. Then you need to go meet another 1,000. Now you've got a model that you know you can move forward.
Yeah, but it's important to take the first step.
You've got to take the first step. And it's like we've said, it's simple, and I'll warrant it, it's not easy.
No.
But the difference is the great things, I say this all the time, greatness is on the other side of uncomfortable.
Yes.
If you're comfortable, the funny thing is, I bet you you're comfortable being uncomfortable, which is amazing to me. That's one of those, like, you have the choice, you have the tools. And this is what I want to share with you guys. You have the choice, you have the tools, you have every resource you need available to you to do the things you want to do and be the person you want to be and be happy. And you have the resources. Catalina's providing you a great resource right now, and alive in her.
Yeah.
Of a group that you can get with that are feeling what you're feeling, hearing what you're hearing, seeing what you're seeing, that can be empathetic to where you are, and you can likely meet someone that's going to move your world forward a notch.
Yeah. And even though you are afraid of doing it, do it anyway. Take the fear with you and do it anywhere.
I would challenge that one. I would say even though you're afraid, I would say because you're afraid of it, do it anyway.
Yes, because you're afraid of it, do it anyway.
Yep. That tells you should be doing it anyway. Awesome. Catalina, this is so great. I really appreciate you. You guys reach out, look her up on Facebook. It's Alive in Her. It's a global community to reach out. We will also post in the comments how to connect with her on Facebook. Catalina, thank you so much for being here today. Super grateful for you, not just because it's the season to be grateful, but that's the reasoning. Really appreciate you today.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays. On behalf of Michael Labersi, I am Dr. Jacob Clendenning. It is your turn to disrupt.